in a world drowning in noise, where truth is often buried beneath layers of propaganda and misinformation, there's a need for a different kind of a network. A network of creators that cuts through the clutter, that doesn't shy away from tough topics, and that delivers the unfiltered truth. We are Trim Radio Network. We are creators. We are innovators. We are investigators. We're the ones who aren't afraid to call a spade. If you're ready to participate in thought-provoking discussions, informational topics, and of course today's biggest headlines, subscribe to our YouTube channel today. We're Trim Radio Network. We're cutting the bull and serving the truth.
Welcome to Revelation, where prophecy meets science. Join host Peter Kling, the Einstein of biblical prophecy, as he uncovers ancient truths with modern insight. Prepare to see the world in a whole new light. And now your host, Peter Kling.
Well, thank you very much for joining me for this fantastic episode of Revelation. You know, it's something that I have looked forward to for over 60 years. And we've had inklings of this, but I could actually say, and pretty much back up what I'm saying, with what's going on in the world events. We'll get into that later on in the show. But I can honestly say Babylon the Great has fallen. And if we Babylon the Great and its relationship with ancient Babylon, and it goes all the way back to the Sumerians, the days of Nimrod, or Gilgamesh, the Anunnaki texts are saying unto themselves, oh, but they're all in the Bible. Yeah. Okay. It's not a scientific, you can't even base any science on the Sumerian Banky, but you know, if you look today, and they say, well, tell the truth, you break up. Let me see if I can do anything about that. I don't know, but let's go. Is it sounding any better?
You're on and off. Right now, you're okay.
Okay. Well, I hate when that happens. And you know, it's just shortage of signal. And I apologize. You know, there's this narrative that goes on, and it's very popular. But when you look at what's written in the scriptures, it's scientific. It's got a scientific basis. It leaves a trail, one that we can follow back to our origins, and it would make more sense than anything that we've been taught in this system. Or any school system, and kids aren't even being taught anymore. But once you're able to put everything together, the picture becomes more and more clear. And that's what we're able to now see. And I've talked about doing a show on ancient Babylon the Great, and I've been waiting for this, to get some legitimate evidence that would support that belief, because you look in the news today, you don't find anything. There are hints. We'll look at some of the hints, but where's the evidence? Where's the smoking gun? Riscola, we've heard how much that the Vatican and its subsidiaries have been involved in over the last. If you want to go back far enough, over the last 500 years, when Martin Luther turned around and nailed his thesis on the church door of Worms, and basically broke off from the Catholic Church and took a bunch of followers with him, because he did 91 reasons that the church is wrong. Imagine that. Did that over 500 years ago. And so here we are today, history kind of repeating itself, that we have so much evidence. I mean, Ruscoe, all of a sudden, pedophilia by priests came out into the open. How far back do you have to go before everything was hushed up, swept under the carpet, you didn't hear anything? Can you remember? Thank you.
Not really. No. I mean, you know, be truthful about it.
I'm thinking it started to come to light in the 70s. For some reason, maybe that's just when I was becoming aware. It was more like toward the late 70s.
The more I think about it, Peter, I think it even started longer. Now that I think about it, it could have started way back, way back in the 30s and the 40s by the music.
Well,
if you think about the music, and when this thing about rock and roll broke loose, that really was like the curtain coming down, so to speak, because rock and roll really meant originally rock and rolling was more rock and roll music. It was rocking and rolling. It was something else.
You know, I guess we could actually go further back than that, depending on how far we want to dig into this. But, you know, right, the 60s was a change in society, and we could mark that. And one of the things that caused that change in society was ending prayer in school.
Yeah.
I don't know if they did it in your school, but let's see. There's usually the Pledge of Allegiance, and they said a prayer.
Did they say the pledge?
Yeah.
I don't know.
Absolutely, they did. I remember that. Oh, now?
I don't know.
Yeah, pledge to the.
I think that they've given them this option. We're going to take time out to, you know, or whatever. And just like when they started to do away with prayer, because originally it was called prayer. And then it was called a moment of silence. We're going to practice a moment of silence. And then, of course, you know, it eventually just went by the wayside. So I'm wondering, I'm just curious. Go ahead. I'm going to go look it up and see.
Yeah, sure. But here's where this all starts. Now, you've heard that we're under admiralty law. I mean, that's been no secret whatsoever. Go look at the gold fringe on the American flag. We're in a state of war, and I imagine that fringe is going to be there for quite some time. But the United States has got its independence, everything is starting to interestingly line up. But to comprehend where this all starts, this admiralty law starts with two papal bulls. These are edicts by the current pope of that time, which essentially becomes the law of the church. And the first one was in 1302. It's a unum sanctum. And what this did was give all authority of all human life and human authorities under the control on earth under the control of the Pope. And the Pope is the personification of God himself right here on earth. I should got this picture, but we've all seen it. The God of this earth, whom we serve. I'm the tongue in the serpent's mouth. Oh, and you go back to that picture in Ruscoe. I know which one we're talking about, but it's the one inside of the assembly hall at the Vatican that looks like you're sitting in a serpent. You're staring into a serpent's mouth. With fangs and like everything.
It's like you're in the serpent looking out to me.
Yeah. And so there's the God of the Pope. And here's the evidence of that. First, the church puts all human life under its subjection, right? Well, there's another papal bull, which is Romanus Pontifex. And this gives the right, it's the authorization and the beginning of slavery by the church. And it was first given to Portugal to expand the lands of Africa. And so that's where the slave trade started. They'd go in, they declare these people. This was the start of Admiralty law. And it also starts of the conquest by the sea. And we're going to be covering a little bit of that. So we can track this. But it starts off with the Portuguese, but then it flips over to the Spanish. And this is connected. This is the church's authorization to invade other lands, and it's the start of slavery. And so when Columbus found the New World, he had it. And let's could you put up picture number one, Risco? You used to learn this in the history books, but back in grade school, that's where I actually first remember seeing a picture very, very, very similar to this one here, and. This is Columbus claiming the land for God and country. And if you look to his right, Riscola, what do you say? What's take a close look. It's a
right.
Monk.
His
yeah, if right. You look at the picture, it's it's actually our left. What's there? The
it's
land
the
being... The land claiming, a monk claiming the land for the church. So you had the Spaniard, well, he's actually Italian, but he's further than that. But he was sponsored by Spain. And this starts the beginning of the Spanish conquistadors. And the invasion of the Americas. Let's throw up picture number two, because this happened every time another group came ashore and claimed the land. And what they didn't send ambassadors, as Columbus is kind of shown to be. They sent over the conquistadors. And they battled with the South American and Central American and Mexican tribes, the world powers of the Americas, and they decimated them. Cortez attacks the Aztecs, and that's what this picture is, and he takes over their whole land, and Spain is claimed. I'm sorry, Spain. Yeah, it does lay claim to Mexico. They speak Spanish there. They speak Spanish in almost every country in South America except for Brazil, and that's Portuguese. And so what? Here's the classic, and this really starts a mass invasion into South America and the decimation of the Aztec Empire. Boy, doesn't this is... This could be tied into Comet Ison, because Ison was supposed to be the snake god coming. This was the December 12th, 2012, the end of the world. No, they forgot the carrier, right? But, and it lined up with Comet Ison and it being destroyed coming around the sun. That would have been the sign for the Mayan snake god. adopted by many of the cultures down in South America. A comet Ison would have aligned with Venus, December 16th, 2013, and it would have looked like a giant exclamation point, but instead it got destroyed behind the sun. Alrighty then, so we didn't see that sign. But yeah, that's an interesting time marker that one is, and that did happen. But it's interesting that it has its own fulfillment for future events. But you look at what's gone on there, and here's, as I said, Scott, if we can put up picture number three. This is the infamous Pizarro, who went up against the king of the Incas. Don't ask me to pronounce his name. I didn't even bother writing it down. My ancient America isn't very good. But he captured the king, held him for ransom, got well over 6,000 kilograms. It's what, about 14,000 pounds of gold? And then he put the king to death anyway. And then it was on. Major gold deposits in the Americas, and that gold was taken from those people. Those people had no rights. They were pagan. They didn't. They deserved to die or accept the teachings of the church. Yeah. Imagine the value of it. This is their first haul. That this is that there was a lot more to come. The Spanish built a major fleet, and we were under admiralty law, invented by the church, given to the crown, the king who was ruling the seas, and it was Spain. And then France tried to rally for it. And France was in the mix. Go back and watch the Black Pearl movies. They're entertaining, to say the least, but there's a little history that's going on right during this time period. And so you had several factions, mostly related. The King of Spain was the Queen of England's cousin. And they were their ships were fighting each other, and Spain went out. So the church, they were kind of backing Spain, but their real backing was now in the crown, which became the Crown Corporation, which became the City of London, which was settled in one of their early wars, but it was controlled by whom at one time? The Romans. Yeah, the city of London, it was Roman and probably still is Roman territory. And who's allowed to operate in the city of London? You got the banksters. Is it starting to add up? Is it starting to make sense? The Vatican used these laws and gave the kings permission to vanquish the people because they're all lost at sea. They created the debt system in which we are enslaved to now, or at least were, maybe. We'll see how this all works out. They created this debt system. It said that Rome invented incorporation, but the Vatican perfected it. And so every entity on the planet is basically a dead corpse. Anything incorporated, go to the root word of incorporated. You can't really sue the entity. You wait. But guess what? The Vatican is the mother of all all corporations, including all you little 501c3 religious corporations. At one state or another, you were controlled by the Vatican because you are limited in what you can say is the truth. Corpses have no free speech, not even in a free America. They're dead. But we're lost at sea. We may stumble up on the beach one day, you never know. Nobody knows where we are. Maybe Davy Jones has them. You know, there are souls in the sea, and those souls, one day, those will come back at a later point in time in what is known as the resurrection. But here we are at this point where we are now identifying, learning how it happened, how it's come under, how we become enslaved to the system. And it goes down to just the real pure evidence. Where's the smoking gun of this? We know how it happened. These papal bulls. We've gotten to this point, but what's the change? It's been like this. How far back did you have commoners trying to just eke out a living? Just eke out a living. 1964, minimum wage was $1.25. You could actually get paid in silver. It was the last year that you could get paid in silver. And in today's markets, that's roughly about $50+ an hour. We've been enslaved. We've been enslaved. How many taxes do we pay? You know where that comes out of? All roads lead to Rome. Yeah. Most people don't know, but federal income tax, and I might be off a little bit on my percentages, but we got to keep the government running. You know, this is what we got to do, and if we don't pay our taxes, the IRS is going to come with us, and it's going to cause a whole bunch of other problems. And if we try to be honest about it to the best of our ability, we might get totally exonerated. Hey, they may give us a credit. And you'd be happy if they just called it quits, right? Because that's how much fear they instill onto the people. Why? Well, it's all over their federal debt note because it's not U.S. It's not U.S. currency. Well, it is kind of. It's U.S. incorporated currency, again, under another corporation. But it's a debt note. Yeah, pay our way out of debt. Is that like to pay our way out of slavery? And so that's why we see things degrading. But where's the evidence that it has changed? Riscala, you got to put up one of my favorite pictures. Oh, wait. Let's see. Before we do that, we got to go to one thing, the current currency. Picture number four, if you would. Now, this is important because, where do we see that? Oh, isn't that the Masonic Eye? Not exactly. That's the all-seeing eye of Providence. Yeah, absolutely. Where do you see that? Look on the back. It's meant for legal tender, but you're under debt. It's a debt note. It's a debt note. And who's controlling that? Now, people will say, well, what do you mean it's the Vatican? It's the Holy See, S-E-E. We see what you're doing. Think about that. It's the Holy See. And there are different breakdowns of the corporations, which they also invented, but that are all laying under the direct control of the Pope. But we pay those taxes. those our taxes typically do not go to run the country. Probably the corruption with it that's been done within the country. Somebody skimmed a bunch of dollars off, but it goes to the Crown Corporation. It goes to the King of England, and the King takes his vig out because of different compacts, probably somewhere around 20%, and the rest goes to, guess where? All roads lead to Rome, right to the Vatican. So what's changed? Riscal, let's go to picture number four. Let's see. I think it's four. No. Let's go right to seven. What's changed? How come the Pope ain't smiling? And why does Trump have one hell of a huge grin on his face? Trump is alleged to have played his Trump card right there. And he went to the Pope on behalf of the so-called white hats around the planet to give the Pope an ultimatum. Made him an offer he couldn't refuse. The church's crimes against humanity. Involved in total control and enslavement of a people who have a God-given right to certain freedoms. Doesn't that take us back to the Declaration of Independence? And before that, all the way back to the Magna Carta? Probably in treaties further back than that. But that kind of stuff, you know, that's allowing freedoms to we the people. And yet we've been enslaved. And so we look at this picture. Why is Pope so upset? Trump gave him an offer he couldn't refuse. And with that, let's go 2022, December 6th, I believe it was 2022. Pope Francis put out a papal bull. That papal bull in Riscard, this is where I'd like you to, you know, let's go to that section that I'd like you to read there, if you don't mind. This is actually a papal bull that was put out, and it was to liquidate all of the church's holdings. And I'm like, what? The church didn't liquidate anything. And Riscal, if you wouldn't mind, go ahead and read that, and we'll stop and chit-chat about it as needed as we go. If you have any questions about that as you're going through that, let's address them. But I think it's pretty plain and simple. And you can find this online. I lost it within my notes here. But it's actually got a it'll say it right on there. Go ahead, read it, Riscal.
Yeah, this text, turn my mic up a little, this text is right from, excuse me, right from the internet. It says, the term papal liquidation decree primarily refers to the Pope Francis December 2022 motu proprio, I think I said that right, which legally established strict protocols for the dissolution and the asset liquidation of instrumental legal persons, Vatican-associated foundations, funds, and organizations operating under the Roman Curia. However, in recent Vatican actions, this concept also relates to the formal suppression and financial liquidation of entities originally created during his pontificate.
Okay. The Pope wants to start to dissolve everything. If you can, let's go to the next slide. And this gets a little bit more into the meat of the situation. Could you go ahead and read that?
Yeah, Pope Francis 2022 liquidation decree issued on December 6th, 2022. This apostolic letter issued motu proprio, Press Vatican.va, targeted the instrumental legal persons of the Roman Curia. The decree explicitly detailed the formal corporate liquidation process for Vatican entities. Liquidator appointment requires the relevant curial institution overseeing the canonical entity to appoint formal liquidators of bankruptcy or closure occurs. Financial oversight. Liquidators must submit a financial liquidation balance sheet to the Secretariat for the Economy and the Council for the Economy for final regulatory approval. Asset devolution directs that all remaining capital and residual assets from dissolved entities automatically devolve to the apostolic see unless explicitly. Oh, and they use the word see, S-E-E. Oh, I got to go back.
Yes.
I got to go back and read that over again. That just caught my attention. Asset devolution directs that all remaining capital and residual assets from dissolved entities automatically devolve to the apostolic see unless explicitly stated otherwise in the entity's original statutes. Official extinction dictates that the president of the governorate issues the final decree to erase the entity from the Vatican's official register of legal persons.
Yeah. What does that mean to you?
It's kind of, so they're getting rid of people? Is that what?
No, they're getting rid of corporations. I'll give you an example. When I was doing the research for this, the most wealthy archdiocese, even more alleged to be more wealthy than the Vatican itself, is in Cologne, Germany. It's in Cologne, Germany, and their wealth came from Smart Place Investments since their inception. Those investments, whatever they may be, now need to be liquidated. Debts settled, and whatever is left over goes to the Vatican account, the Vatican Bank. Now, why would they do that? Why would they do that? We have to jump back to picture number seven. Why would they do that unless they were given an ultimatum? You got your ultimatum. And let's see, these laws came out 600 years ago. How much wealth did the Vatican take in the last 600 years? How much of a land grab did they do? You know, One of the greatest things that the church invented was hellfire. They took it from the Greek mythology of Hades, hell, as they translated it, and as we are taught about it. And they would pack the churches back then talking about Dante's Inferno, how your soul's going to burn in hell forever. And so, but hey, we got a way that you can get out of it, and you could actually buy your way out of hell. But, you know, you got to make sure, it's got to be enough depending on your sins, because you could spend a lot of time in this place, purgatory. And, you know, if you can give the church as much as you can get, we sure we can get your husband to heaven. But I'll have to sell my land. Well, you want him to get to heaven, don't you? And so the widow sells her land and gives the money to the church. And that's one of the things, one of the main things that Martin Luther was known for, is to point out how the church was abusing and enslaving the population while they cuddled up next to royalty. And then they cuddled up next to the military. And then they kind of do both, because the royalty controls the military.
Peter.
Yes, sir.
You mentioned about them buying themselves into heaven, buying off their sins. Right?
Yeah, right.
Isn't the form of that happening today when we see these uber rich people? We know they've committed unspeakable acts upon the most innocent of people, but they've got the money to buy themselves off. Isn't that a form of what we're seeing?
Yeah, because the church kind of like forgives them, you know, and they've repented of their ways. Hello, Elon Musk. Elon Droid Musk. Did I say that? Yeah, I guess I did. What do you want me to say? What was it? The guy that's the head of what is now Meta, Facebook, his name escapes me, like I really care. But he took on the look of Data from Star Trek. I don't care what anybody says. No. He just had, you know, flesh tones. It's like, okay, yeah, we are talking to Data, aren't we? Another android? Who knows? Silicone person? Beats the hell out of me. I don't know how far along that their technology is advanced, but that's not what we're talking about tonight. But yeah, you've got these uber rich people, but they're kind of a production. We can do a show on this. They came out of DARPA. Good part of DARPA used to be Bell Labs. The AT&T, the remainder of the Bell system, is mostly owned by one family that nobody's ever heard of. Pisans, I believe it is. It's believed that there's another show here, but descendants of what would be what, Louis XVIII? Allegedly, that's another show, but yeah. Antoinette had a baby that was secretly transported to the New World. The colonies, hello, Louisiana. And so that all became French territory for a reason. and that's how the story goes anyway. But you see, throughout all of this time, we have historical events where the Vatican has been pretty much controlling the nations through direct influence. And we even saw the Pope the end of September 29th of 2015, where he stood in America's holy places and then gave the United Nations their walking papers, which the United Nations, General Assembly of the United Nations, ended under the fourth and final of the tetrad blood moons and four eclipses of the sun during that time period. But yeah, tell me that was an all-time doubt. And so what did we just see here? Most people saw nothing. Didn't see anything. Pope came to America. Spoke at where? America's holy places, the Congress, the White House, and where it started all, at Independence Hall, before he went to the United Nations. And Obama and the Pope are having a great old time. And the people were being enslaved even deeper. Yeah. And so the Vatican fell over. So I think we have one more paragraph to cover here. And everybody's wondering, why did we get an American Pope? That caught everybody off guard. So can you read that last section there?
Subsequent executions of liquidation. Following the regulatory framework left by Pope Francis, the Vatican has actively utilized liquidation and suppression decrees to dissolve specific organizations. The Commission for Donations to the Holy See, established by Pope Francis in February of 2025, this commission was formally suppressed. The Vatican ordered APSA, Administration of the Patrimony of Apostolic See, to handle the absolute liquidation of its assets and transition the funds back to the General Accounting Office. The sodality of Christian life, following an extensive corruption and abuse probe originally initiated under Pope Francis, the Vatican formalized a decree of suppression and dissolution for the society and all of its subordinate branches. The Pontifical Committee for the World Children's Day, originally created by Francis in late 2024, this entity was dissolved. All of its previous legal acts were annulled under canon and civil law, and its core functions were absorbed into the Dicastery for the Laity, the Family and Life.
Interesting, isn't it? Is there one more piece to that? Or I think there's one more piece to that, isn't there?
No, that's it.
Okay, that was the end of it. I actually went and found this papal bull, and boy, I can see why they call it bull. The first third of it is essentially religious legal ease. And I'm like, what? Is this even English? No. It's a religious legalese. So they're following their own law. And then later on, it gets down into these sections of dissolution and what needs to be done. And now, there was one administrative here. This is what caught your attention to begin with. The administration of Paternity of the Apostolic See. These guys basically, they managed the real estate management for the Vatican. They are in charge of financial affairs and administrative services. So they manage all the real estate, and they're involved in making sure, or their job is to make sure that all of this gets done and take the money and it gets sent into the Vatican Bank. There are no secret accounts to be set up by any of the archdiocese to squirrel away money. All monies have to be accounted for and sent to the Vatican Bank. Why? Guess who captured the Vatican Bank? Yeah, we can go back to that picture, but we're going to go ahead. Riscolo, could you put up picture number 6? Because here's the direct connection with Babylon the Great. Babylon the Great, the religious harlot that has been controlling governments since the time of ancient Sumeria. She is the religious control And under her would be the Baal worshippers, those who sacrifice children. Yeah. Those who sacrifice children. And what did the Catholic Church go to, and say go do during the 1300s and 1400s? Go conquer these people and enslave them. And they've been doing that for over 600 years. And they took all of our rights away. Everybody is under their control who is alive on planet Earth. I don't care if you live in the United States, South America, over in Europe, or throughout the lands of China and Indonesia, and for all of those who live down under. All through Africa. All of those people belong to the church. They are all dead souls at sea, or lost souls at sea. Do you see why this religious harlot, and it encompasses all the religions, including direct Satanism, do you see how this entity has controlled the planet for well over 600 years? 600 years ago seems to be about the time it started. That is an entity that is now, why would they start dissolving everything? Why would they liquidate everything? Why is it all getting funneled back to its a single location, the Vatican Bank? There is the basis for peace and security being accumulated by what we could call the Eighth King, Trump, and the White Hats, symboled by 10 kings who do not yet have a kingdom. This money is alleged. Priscilla, how many times have you heard Trump said, oh, we'll seize their assets, we'll seize their assets. They'll be arrested and their assets will be seized.
He passed some kind of legislation about if he finds somebody, or if they find somebody who's a trafficker, not only do they get in prison, but they lose everything, that they have all their assets.
And who's the largest human trafficker on the planet?
It's got to be either the Vatican or the United States, one or two. I shouldn't laugh. That's not funny. I apologize.
Okay, go back to the law of sea, the Admiralty Law. First it was the Portuguese, then it was the Spanish, then it became the English. Who rules the seas now? The good old U.S. of A. The United States has ruled the seas since the Second World War, and it established itself as a superpower during the Gulf Wars, right? The proverbial lamb that speaks like a dragon. We do all this in the name of peace. Yep, we're in Iran right now for the sake of peace. Well, unfortunately, there may be truth to it this time, because the last thing that has to come down is the financial system. Before they could be, all of this money is alleged to have been put into an account which is going to be run by AI, which means I don't care how you take it, to a certain extent, we're going to a digital system. Whether it's digital tracked by bills or whether it's Coinbase. But yeah, we're going to go to that, and it's going to be tracked all by quantum technology. And from what I understand, that they're working on, and this is through geoengineering, hello, carbon that they release, graphene oxide, allegedly everything's been tagged, and they can tell what it is by its vibration, by our auras, the electromagnetic energy which each body puts off. Any being or living thing in motion will have an aura. The Earth's a living thing. It's got its magnetic field. We all have a magnetic field. You got to ground yourself, walk barefoot. Oh, is that what that means? Yeah. And your aura is the soul, which won't fit inside your body. I don't know how else to explain it, but that seems to be an accurate analogy. Riscal, you ever, all of a sudden you feel something, but you haven't been touched, and you turn around, and somebody's standing there? You've had that happen. Yeah. Many. So where'd you come from? You know, but you felt them.
Or somebody's watching you. How about that?
Yeah. You know, why do I feel like somebody's watching me? Oh, somebody I talked with years ago said that he would do an experiment, and I started doing it. But what he would do is, like during a sporting event, he would look through his binoculars at people on the other side of the arena. And he would put out the mental image, I see you, I see you, I see you. And within 15 to 30 seconds, that person would look right down the binoculars. Look right into his eyes. And I did that. I was like, okay, let's see. Yeah. A random person on the other side of the arena will all of a sudden make eye contact with you if you put out that signal. Think about that. So we can make mental contact with somebody else at a far distance. It's part of our spirituality, which we need to get in line and take advantage of. Learn how to use, connect it back into the generator of all of that, the very entity itself, which gave us a book of the past, the present, and the future. If you know how to read it and you comprehend what it says, and don't think, oh, I'm going to read the Bible and start in Genesis. Genesis is a great place to start. Stop when you get to the end of Genesis. And then go to, and you may even want to stop before that, but because you're going to get to the begots. Father of this, Father. There's a reason why all of those names were put in there, but boy, it makes for some real, real exciting reading, doesn't it? It'll be hard to get past that. But go to the Gospels, Matthew, Mark, Luke, and John, and read the Christian Greek scriptures first. If you're going to read the Bible, and that you can apply that, and that's Jesus speaking about his kingdom. Wasn't speaking about a religion. He was speaking about a kingdom. That's the key, Riscal. Let me ask you a question here. Have you ever heard me once say that, or have you ever heard me once endorse any religion?
No.
Have you ever once heard me refer to myself as a minister?
No.
Have you ever heard me say, my kingdom's no part of this world yet?
Yeah. Yes.
Yeah. Yeah. Have you, this one might be a little bit more obscure. Have you ever heard me say that I am an ambassador of Christ? Yeah. I don't get involved in the politics. There you go. Yeah. See, what I didn't tell you is that I was alien. my kingdom is no part of this world yet. What would that indicate? Uh-oh.
you're not of this world.
Yeah. Well, my kingdom is not of this world. That there is a difference. To the best of my knowledge, I was born on this planet. at least what that's what the records say, and that's what my mom says, and she's sticking to her story, so, and there's a bunch of people to back it up, just different versions of it. So I'm pretty sure that, you know, I wasn't sent here, but maybe my soul was. Because, you know, just what I do is what my family did 500 years ago. And I can document that. They were on the side of Martin Luther. They were standing up against the church. And now we see that we've gotten to the point where Babylon the Great has fallen. We haven't seen it visibly. And if we go to Revelation, we might just run a couple of minutes over here, but that's okay. If we go to Revelation in the 18th chapter, if we go back to the 17th chapter, it actually talks about the eighth king, the scarlet-colored wild beast. If we put that back on the screen there, Babylon. Revelation 17:16, talks about the eighth king and the 10 horns that you saw and the wild beast. These will hate the harlot and they will make her devastated and naked and will eat up her fleshy parts and they will completely burn her with fire. And you gotta love this one. Revelation 17:17. Ooh, is that QQ? Yeah. For God put it into their hearts to carry out his thought, even to carry out their one thought by giving their kingdom to the wild beast until the words of God will have been accomplished. And so when we go into chapter 18, and this is what John gets to see next, he hears this angel, great glory, and he's crying out with a strong voice saying, "She has fallen. Babylon the Great has fallen, and she has become a dwelling place of demons and a lurking place of every unclean exultation and a lurking place of every unclean bird." It continues, "For because the wine of her of anger of her fornication with all the nations have fallen victim, and the kings of the earth committed fornication with her, and the traveling merchants of the earth became rich due to her power and her shameless luxury." Yeah, the church sanctioned it through corporations. "And I heard another voice out of heaven say, 'Get out of her, my people, if you do not want to share with her in her sins, and if you do not want to receive part of her plagues. For her sins have amassed clear up to heaven, and God has called her acts in justice to mind. Render to her, even as she herself has rendered, and do twice as much, yes, twice the number of things she did in the cup to which she put a mixture, put twice the amount of mixture for her, to the extent that she glorifies herself and lives in shameless luxury, to the extent to give her torment and mourning. For in her heart she keeps saying, 'I sit as a queen and I am no widow, and I shall never see mourning.' That is why in one day her plagues will come, death, mourning, and famine, and she will be completely burned with fire because Jehovah God who judged her is strong." The end of this time period in which we have found ourselves in for hundreds of years, controlled by a religious empire who just wrote on a piece of paper, "I'm God's representative, you're all my slaves." Yeah. No. So her time has come. And she, if you notice in chapter 18, she falls. And God's people are told, get out of her. What are God's people doing in Babylon the Great? Maybe they're supporting the system. Maybe they're part of the merchants. Because the merchants, and go back to the Spanish army, probably the Portuguese, starting with the Portuguese navy, the Spanish navy, the English navy, and the American navy, you would have to, as they ruled the seas, they were doing the Vatican's bidding. She controlled the seas. But the traveling merchants of the earth weep for her. And among the traveling urchins, within their goods, they also include, in chapter 18, verse 13, the latter part of it says, among the things, perfumed oil and frankincense and wine and olive oil and fine flour, wheat, cattle, sheep, horses, coaches and slaves and human souls. Human souls. They were trafficking in people that were going to be sacrificed. Think about that. And so the traveling merchants and the ship captains of the sea, they all are in lament. And you know who controls the seas? The Vatican controls shipping. Stick that in your Strait of Hormuz. Interesting. And maybe the Eighth King has taken it over. And so this leads credence back to Trump being the physical representation of the Eighth King, who is doing God's bidding in taking down the control that has enslaved humanity on a capital basis. And I believe we are going to see the physical evidence of this over the next year, at least. The banking system has to come down. It's going to be replaced with gold-backed currency. I wonder where they got the gold from. The Vatican. Oh, there's plenty of gold in Fort Knox. Don't worry about it. Drop in the bucket. The alleged 650 plane loads of gold that has been extracted from under the Vatican tunnels. The gold was secured. Secured was the word. And seizing the assets, liquidate them all. You're done. Liquidate the assets. Have all of the deposits put into the Vatican Bank, which we now control. And, no secret slush fund anywhere. We want every penny accounted for. Okie doke. Think about it. The transfer of that wealth would make everybody happy. How it's administrated will be another thing. Because I'm sure that somewhere along the line, it'll get to the point where, again, in Revelation, it says that we will not be able to buy nor sell without the mark of the wild beast, the image of the wild beast. We're not to that point yet. Will we get there? Yeah, we'll watch 2028 and 2029, and those should be interesting years. So let's hope we can get to go that long and be able to bring you folks the truth to the best that we can, bring you a new comprehension of this world and what is going on and how it is indeed filling biblical prophecy in these last days. And so I do my best to bring you the best information I can bring, based on the reality of the days in which we live and our own God-given abilities and freedoms that we should have. We should only be under the control of, under the subjection of two entities, number one, our Father in Heaven, Yahuwah, whose code is written within our DNA. And the second, his emissary to earth, his son, the beloved, who gave his life to buy back the first blood that Adam had lost and give us that the hope for a much better, greater future. And this is the turning point. This is the turning point. So I pray love and blessings to all of you and yours. And may we all prosper in these interesting times in which we live. It's not all doom and gloom once we've made that connection back to our Creator. That indeed is our salvation. And that's most important. So with that, Riscala, thank you very much for joining me tonight and reading those. It makes it easier on me because I only get the little tiny screen. But anyway, I am also happy to be with all of you folks. I ask, hey, please like and share. We do want to grow the network. And the network has been growing a little at a time. And that's a positive thing. But where else are you going to go and find this information that is truly life-saving information? And with that, I'm going to say thank you again. Love and blessings to all of you and yours. Have a fantastic week.